I'm speaking to Jacqueline Medina. Welcome to Women's Focus.
Well, thank you for having me here.
What made you decide that you wanted to run for judge? Why don't we start with that?
Sure, I'd love to start with that. There's actually two reasons I decided. First, I grew up in far northern New Mexico in Taos, actually. And when I was growing up, and it still is today, a very diverse community culturally and economically. And growing up, I used to hear a lot of people who would speak that they didn't feel they were having fair and equal access to the judicial system. And that's what led me to think, well, one day I want to grow up to be an attorney so that I can make sure people around me are being treated fairly or understand the law around them. And I did. I worked my way through law school, and when I got out, I went back home and entered public service. And 24 years later, I stayed in public service. Mm-hmm. But before I was going to retire, I heard these judicial positions on the court were opening up. And my colleagues in the Attorney General's office, I was an appellate attorney for the state, they were asking me, we really need someone with a criminal law background like yourself to get on the Court of Appeals, because we hardly ever have criminal law backgrounds, either public defenders or prosecutors or appellate public defenders with a criminal law background on the court, and we're getting civil attorneys exclusively, and the majority of cases appealed and considered in the Court of Appeals are actually from criminal cases across the state. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, I've been briefing cases for the state for 16 and a half years. And before that, I was a children's court attorney and an assistant district attorney. I'm going to do this. And it's going to allow me to continue, if I'm elected, a public servant for the people of New Mexico. I would be able to give back the experience I acquired as an appellate attorney and a trial attorney to the state by being a judge on the court.
I wondered where you were in a children's court.
I first got out of law school, went back to Taos, which was the 8th Judicial District. And so I was a children's court attorney there through the DA's office. I was responsible for delinquency proceedings. And after about 5 years there, I came to Albuquerque and I worked in children's court here. So primarily the goal as a children's court attorney is to see what we can do, what's in the best interests of the child, and then take into consideration the community. And so what I was seeing were children who were starting to get in trouble. And so I worked very closely with the probation department. We spent most of our time trying to have children diagnosed. Do they need counseling programs? Do they need drug treatment centers? Or is what the child is doing in the community right now a result partially of what's happening in the home? In those situations, we would look for family counseling. My experience in Bernalillo County broke my heart because the caseload was much bigger. Mm-hmm. And in the smaller community of Taos, you always had one parent or a grandparent or an aunt and uncle who could come in and help the child with figuring out what we could do to help the child. But I saw in Albuquerque with the numbers, these were often children who were living with maybe one parent or an aunt in a hotel in Central or wherever they could find. It was very transient, and often I would see a child come in and one of the parents was actually incarcerated and they couldn't locate the mother. It broke my heart, but it was important to try to do what we could do to rehabilitate the children or get them into a program that might change their lives around.
When you were in Taos and growing up and people were complaining, they felt left out of the system. Did they feel that they were out of the system, or the system didn't pertain to them?
My interpretation of the conversations I heard, there would be disputes over property rights or a divorce proceeding or even a criminal case. And one of the number one issues was, I don't have enough money to hire an attorney to even get into court. Or I was able to get an attorney, but I couldn't keep the attorney throughout the whole proceeding. Or, gosh, why did the judge rule in this fashion? Mm-hmm. And, you know, those were the types of conversations that I was hearing. But you have to remember that my circle or my family, you know, my mom was 16 when she married my father, and he was 19, so they didn't graduate from high school, and that was really common mm-hmm. back in their generation. They were just, I guess, like hardworking blue collar people. And so when these conversations came up, you know, it tended to be probably a matter of an economic inability for access to the court to feel like you were fully represented. And then you can never make anyone whole again. I learned that from being a children's court judge and even an assistant DA. You know, if you're a victim of a crime, you can never undo the crime. Mm-hmm. And so you never have, no matter what happens with a case, if it's pled or you go to trial, you can never be made whole again. And if you're an accused, you know, you might not ever feel like you were given justice. My background for 7.5 years was seeing families in the courtroom and children and mothers and wives and grandmothers. And it was very difficult sometimes when I would have to make a recommendation for incarceration as opposed to probation, because I knew sometimes if it was like a head of a household, that meant, wow, this family just lost someone who was probably going to go cut wood for the fireplace to keep them warm in the winter, mm-hmm. or this family's losing the primary breadwinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very difficult for me because I would always look at the families of the offenders. And at the same time, I was representing the state and looking at my victims. It's a very difficult position to be in.
Okay. It sounds as though you spent 27 years, I think you said, really involved with dealing with issues of justice and wrong and making things right, really sort of a hands-on kind of experience. And now when you go to the appellate court, you're going to be pulling away from that. You're going to be abstracting. It's going to be a different kind of work, and it's going to be hard work, I think.
Actually, so I was hands-on with witnesses and victims and in the courtrooms for 7.5 years. And then Patricia Madrid hired me to work at the Attorney General's office as one of her appellate attorneys. So I spent the next 16.5 years actually working in an office doing appellate work. So my job was to review the transcripts and hearings and records from cases from across our entire state. And so I became an appellate research and writer for the state of New Mexico. Initially, at first, making that transition was a little difficult because it's almost like a solo practice. It's not very social, but mm-hmm. I got used to it, and I fell in love with research and writing. Mm-hmm. So I was writing briefs in the Court of Appeals and in the Supreme Court. And then from time to time, I was doing oral arguments in front of the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court. I was writing responses and answers in the Tenth Circuit, and I enjoyed it. So for 16.5 years, I became very familiar with the different standards of review for different mm-hmm. issues. It was just amazing the topics that I was able to cover in those 16.5 years. It was amazing. I always felt like I was learning constantly. But I have to say, trying to look out for children is a primary interest of mine. And so even when I became an appellate attorney, I found ways to help people and underprivileged children. And I did that by always organizing school supply fundraisers.
That was going to be my next question of what other things that you did in your life.
I got a great pleasure for me to always do school supply collections for underprivileged children. And I would always make sure they ended up in classrooms with the special needs classes, because these are the classrooms that I would hear were last on the list to receive funding. Mm. And then I would also, a few years back, I became a family advocate for Albuquerque Habitat for Humanity. And I was enjoying that so much, and a position opened to actually be on the Family Selection Committee. So I thought, what the heck? I'm going to do this. I have the time. I mentor law students every year, except for this year, the Supreme Court asked me to mentor a brand new attorney. So that's what I'm doing. Stress relief. I get great pleasure, actually, from helping people in need, but I also run. growing up in Taos, it was fortunate to have the Taos Ski Valley there. Mm-hmm. And they had an amazing program where you could fundraise and then join the ski club. So on Wednesdays, you could get on the bus. They would take you to the ski valley. You would have ski instruction and then free skiing in the afternoon. So I learned how to ski, and in the winters when we have snow, I ski. It just absorbs my stress. I picked up paddleboarding and kayaking on non-whitewater streams and lakes. My husband and I and my daughter, we enjoy hiking and we enjoy camping. We do a lot of outdoor activities that I need to have. I always feel like the earth absorbs the stress from me.
We have a number of women who are running for appellate court this year. We've been sort of increasing the number of women both on the Supreme Court and the appellate court. Do you think that makes a difference for New Mexico?
Well, I find it refreshing. I mean, traditionally, well, you know, growing up, I never met a female attorney. And in fact, I was much older before I met an attorney that wasn't just one from television. But seeing an increase in the number of women in our district and appellate courts excites me because it means that women are finally stepping up and getting into positions where they should be, that were traditionally dominated by men.
Do you think that there would be a difference in the way they would make decisions?
The decisions will be different based on what their background is. And what I mean by that is all judges take an oath to apply the law to the facts. But your upbringing and your background and your experience as an attorney, or if it was, you know, whatever career you had even before becoming an attorney, that molds your judicial lens and how you view the facts. And so it just so happens that this year it's four Democratic women running in a contested race against four Republican men. And we, each of us, have such a diverse background of where we came from and the type of law that we practice. Mm-hmm. I think it's bound to have an effect on the decisions that come out, to the extent that the way we interpret the facts of the case.
What would you say if I would think, oh, it's women, so they're just going to let everyone off, or they're going to let kids off?
Well,
you made a face.
I made a face only because I'm probably, well, I would say, well, gosh, you know, I probably have to disagree with you. That's a difficult question, but I would say that's not the case. I was concerned when I was going to run. I thought people might say, wow, she worked as a prosecutor and an assistant attorney general. She might be too tough and not equitable and you know, maybe one-sided. So I would say to the people of New Mexico, the qualifications you want to look for in a judge on your appellate court are candidates who are in touch with your community, you know, that know all the, or are familiar with the needs of the people, understand what's happening to people who are in economic crisis, who understand what's available as far as rehabilitation programs, but also who understand that you have to follow the law. And as appellate judge, only in a criminal case, if someone's challenging the sentence that they received from a district court judge, you know, you're looking at that issue and saying, was that a lawful sentence? Mm-hmm. You know, and so the appellate judge doesn't go in and resentence an offender. So, or say, I'm going to let them go. So as far as the women might be too soft, they would not, if they let someone go who had been sentenced to 2 years at the Department of Corrections, then they would not have been following the law. And so an attorney would be able to petition the New Mexico Supreme Court to review that ruling. Mm-hmm. On the basis that, oh, they rendered an opinion that was against the law. Right. I'd like to encourage anyone out there to look at my website, medinafornm.com. Or if you're on Facebook, my campaign also has a Facebook page, just so you can discover more about my background. And I have a campaign phone number and an email if you have questions for me that I'd be permitted to answer. I'd like to do that. I do bring a wealth of experience, and I think it's a needed type of background that I bring for this court.